I've exhorted on this thought several times, but I've never just taken a text and preached on it. But it seems like the last few days that this has gotten my heart really big, and I'm going to do my best to share it with you tonight. Mark chapter number 4, if you got your place, let's stand together. And I appreciate the ones that I've seen that I know. Good to see my friends at other meetings. And for you that I don't know, I hope to get to meet you before the week is out. But more than that, I want to be a blessing to you. I want to preach what God's got in our heart, what God's got for this meeting, for this hour. I'm not a performer. Praise God. Amen. And if God don't help us, I'll be in a mess. But if he'll help us, it'll all be all right. Amen. I don't ever want it to deteriorate into a performance. Amen. God didn't call me to perform. He called me to preach. And I got to have the help of God. He said, not by power of might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And man, I've been preaching, I think, since the third week of June. And if you've heard me somewhere else, you may, I don't know. I've said so many things, so many different places. I don't know what I've said where. So if you've heard me say it, just smile, praise God, and act like it's brand new, and we'll be all right. Amen. And but you pray that God will help me, touch me physically, touch my mind, and touch my heart. The Lord will help us tonight. The Bible said in verse number 35, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They awake him and saith unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey? You can be seated. I want you to keep your Bible open, and we're going to look into this text, but I want to take a text verse. In verse number 35, the Bible said, And the same day when the even was come. Old preacher from Mississippi said this some years ago. He said, you know, it's getting late in the day when small men cast long shadows. When small men cast long shadows. You better believe that we're living in the even of time, friend. Hey, we're looking, we are knocking on the door of the return of Christ. Hey, I believe every you go study, I've been preaching a little bit on the seven churches in Revelation and those chapters 2 and 3. In every one of those churches, there's a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say, praise God, friend, I got up this morning and I was with an anticipation in my heart that today could be the day when the Lord Jesus stepped out on the eastern cloud and brother called us home, friend. May I say to you, America has got one of two hopes, and that's it. Or the child of God, it's either that God will send revival or God will bring the rapture. And may I say to you, it really doesn't matter to me which one he brings, as long as he brings one of them. Say amen. But can I tell you, thank God, I'm glad this world is not my home. I'm glad I'm just a passing through. I am a pilgrim and a stranger. Somebody said a stranger is somebody who doesn't have a home. But thank God it said I'm a pilgrim. It's somebody who's headed home. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, you better believe Friday night when the last amen is sung, I'm going to hang a coat in the back of that truck. I'm going to put it in drive and I'm going to make a beeline back to Gainesville, Georgia, friend, where there's some folks that's waiting on me to get home. And may I tell you, praise God, there's a reality for the child of God just any day now. Our Lord is returning. I'm looking for him just any day, thank God. It's evening time. It's evening time. The Bible said when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. There are two occasions in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus manifested his authority over power and of the power of nature. Both of them happened at night, Mark 4 and Mark 6. Both of them happened at night, and both of them happened during a violent storm. May I say to you, the storm may rock us to the foundation of our faith, but I'm glad that which shakes us to the foundation, honey, is just pavement for him to walk on. He doesn't get tore up. He doesn't get stirred up. Honey, he don't have a medicine cabinet that he runs to get a Xanax or to take a Tylenol or to take something to calm his nerves. Say amen right there. I'm afraid we're living in a day where we're believing in a big little G, a little O, a little D God. But honey, I don't know about you, but my King James said it was a capital L, a capital O, capital R, capital D God. Honey, he's not some weakling that does not know what to do and his plan has got out of hand. No, you better believe it started just like he said it was, and it's continuing just like he said it was. Honey, but there's coming a day it's going to call just exactly like he said he was. He said, I am the Lord and there's none else beside him. I'm glad, thank God, if he can create it, honey, you better believe he can control it too. Amen. He can control it. One, the disciples were in the boat and he was in the boat with them. The second was, they were in the boat and he was in a mountain praying. May I say to you, if we're not careful, we'll get down. And all we can talk about is the storms and the burdens we're going through. But I believe if you'll study Mark 4, Mark 5, and Mark number 6, in Mark 4 you find them in a storm, and in Mark 6 you find them in a storm. There's 92 verses that separate those two storms. But can I tell you, friend, just like the psalm said, God's been good. I've had more joy. I've had more sunshine than there has been rain. There's been more good times than there's been burdens. There's been more smiles than there's been tears. Praise God. And may I say to you, yes, there's a storm in chapter 4. And yes, there's a storm in chapter 6. Honey, but can I tell you what's between 4 and 6? There's 4 miracles between 4 and 6. Honey, the maniac at Gadara, the demons were cast out. And then there was the woman with the issue of blood. Honey, she was healed after she had spent all and was none the better. But then there was Jairus' daughter who was graveyard to dead. And then he fed the 5,000 in Mark 6. Mark 5 is one of the greatest preaching chapters, or one of my most favorite preaching chapters, because in Mark 5, he walked up, that maniac at Gadara was sitting there waiting on him. Waiting on him at the dock when he got there. And what happened? He showed in the maniac at Gadara that he had power over the devil. May I say, he cast out the devils. They said, what have we to do with thee? I'm glad, thank God, Brother Tripp, I'm serving a God who's not worried about the devil. He defeated him, went to hell and set the captives free, and marched out the victor over death, hell, and the grave. And he walked out with the keys. Honey, the devil don't even have the keys to his own house. He really ain't all that he said he was. He said he wondered about as a roaring lion. Honey, we know who the lion is. It's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Honey, there ain't but one line in that Bible, and his name is Jesus Christ the Lord. All the devil can do is impersonate and intimidate and imitate. But praise God, I'm glad that I serve a God who can still shut the mouth of the devil. Amen. Amen. But Jeff, I was reading the other day, the Bible said that David smote that lion. That lion ran off, and if he had any sense, he'd have stayed run off. But he came back, and Brother Tom, the Bible said he smote him again, and then he slew him. You say, what kind of God are you serving? I'm serving a God. David slapped that lion's jaws, smote him, And he should have just run off and tucked his little lion tail between his legs and took his whooping and walked off and left off. But he came back for some more. And the Lord, and listen, David slapped him again. And he didn't like it, so he cut his throat and killed him. Say amen right there. And may I say to you, listen to me. We're acting like the Lord is some weakling, like he's stirred up about some Supreme Court decision. Listen to me, that he's worried about Ahmadinejad in Iraq and all these other infidels and apostates in the world. Honey, if he didn't worry about the devil, you better believe he ain't gave a second thought to any ruler. It said the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. I'm glad I serve a God who's got power over the devil. Amen. Then he had that woman with the issue of blood. Power over demons, power over the devil. Then he said, I got power over disease. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, he's the God of cancer. He's the God of heart disease. He's the God of whatever disease there is. You say, why don't he heal me? He is going to heal you. One way or the other, you're going to get a new body. It may be this side. It may be that side. I'm glad, thank God, there is. He said, listen, you realize that the Lord Jesus is the only one in your King James Bible that ever touched a leper on purpose. Why? Because he had so much life and he had so much power that leprosy couldn't go from that one that was corrupted into one that was incorruptible. I'm glad, blessed be God, he's got power over disease. Amen. Then he separated Peter, James, and John. First time he separated them. Took them in there to that Jairus' daughter. Amen. Let me just say a word to you. You may think your prayer's never going to be answered. Don't you know Jairus' daddy? Jairus' daughter dying, and Jairus think, Lord, we got to go. We ain't got time to talk to this woman. My daughter's dying. Let me tell you something. When you God, you got all the time in the world, because she dies before you get there. It really don't matter. Say amen. Amen. Some of you are brokenhearted. You're bound in your own grief because you feel like you've been denied. Let me tell you something. Just because your prayer's been delayed doesn't mean it's been denied. Amen. Don't you know old Jairus was antsy? He was saying, Lord, we got to go. She's about to die. She's on the deathbed. And what happened? He separated old Peter, James, and John. He said, boys, do you really want to know me in the fellowship of my power of the resurrection, the fellowship of my suffering? He said, listen, I'm going to let you know a little bit in the Garden of Gethsemane about the fellowship of my suffering. I'm going to let you know a little bit about the power of the resurrection. Come on in here with me. And maybe he spoke to that little girl, and she rose up off that bed, and may I say to you, he ain't just got power over the devils, and he's not just got power over disease, but thank God Almighty, he's got power over death. And thank God, right in the middle of the storm, he helped a demoniac. He touched somebody with a disease, and he raised somebody from the dead. And if you'd have to be honest tonight, somewhere between your storms, the God of heaven has stepped into your storm and walked on your waves and came to where you are and did a miracle right in the middle of your difficulty. I'm telling you, it's been better than it's been bad. Amen. Amen. Hey, Brother Jeff, Mark 6. Let me just say this. Mark 4, he got in the boat with them. Mark 6, he put them in the boat and sent them. What about he's so much God and so loving kindness, he never sent them anywhere that he ain't been with them before? He didn't put them in the boat and send them to start with. He got in there with them, got them over there. And then the second time he said, I done took you. Y'all just ride on over there, boys. Just ride on. Just go ahead. Just go ahead. Praise God. John 6, he put them in the boat. And the Bible said they got in the boat and said he departed into a mountain to pray. Little bigger picture right there, Brother Boatwright. Little bigger picture. 28 years ago, I got born again. I like that Bible talk. Born again. Saved. You can make a decision if you want to. I got born again. Amen. I like Bible terminology. Amen. Amen. Don't get nervous. I'm from confrontational, one-on-one, evangelism, soul winning. Amen. But it was deeper than a decision. Amen. Pray, everybody, don't get nervous, praise God. Some of you like you hurt, you hung right there, praise God. I drive a big tractor that carries a big plow. Amen. We can sink her down in there and turn the dirt over. Amen. Amen. John 6 puts them in the boat. They departed to pray. Hey, Dad, keep a worshiping. I about took a lap with you that second time, praise God. I like it, neighbor. Amen. I'm glad we don't have to dry up and die. I'm glad we can enjoy the trip all the way home. John chapter 6, put them in the boat, departed to a mountain to pray. In the fourth watch of the night, he saw them toiling and rowing. A lot bigger picture than just there. 28 years ago, I got born again. He put me in the old gospel ship, and he put me on my way to the other side. Amen. You say, where did he go? Well, he's departed into a mountain to pray. That Bible said that he ever liveth to, listen, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and he ever liveth to make intercession for him. What's happened? We're on our way to the other side. But he's gone yonder, depart from us, and he's praying for you and I, thank God. I like what Brother Edgar said years ago. He said the work of the church and the work of the saints is on the shoulders of the Son of God. It said he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He said the burden of the sinner is on the shoulders of the local church. We're to go get them and to bring them in, and God's got to save them. But while we're doing that, he's pleading our case. And what's happened? We're on our way to the other side. He's in another world praying for us. But honey, in the fourth watch of the night, at the darkest time of the night, they were a-tolling and rowing, and the winds were a-railing on that wind. But what happened? The Bible said he saw them. He thanked God for a King James Bible. In spite of the darkness, honey, I don't know how he did it. Out of the fact he was God. But through the darkness, he saw them rowing and told them, knew they couldn't make it home. But it's not just in spite of the darkness, but in spite of the distance, he saw where they are. May I say, you may feel like God is way off in the distance somewhere and doesn't know where you are. But honey, if he can see in the fourth watch of the night of the disciples toiling and rowing on the boat, you better believe he knows where you are. But guess what? He just didn't stay in the mountain. In the fourth watch of the night, darkest hour, he said they ain't gonna make it. So what did he do? He came to where they were. Glory to God, hallelujah. Got in their boat, and the Bible said when they received him into the boat, it said immediately they were in the land. That's a miracle we miss about that story. When he got in the boat, all of a sudden they were on the other side. May I tell you, it ain't going to be long. Honey, we're in the fourth watch of the night. Men are marrying women. Men, women are wearing women. And listen to me, the United States of America has put their stamp of approval on it. We're killing babies by the millions. Alcohol's being drunk like it's ice water. Dope's going crazy. I'm talking about, friend, men are compromising. Good churches are going liberal. I'm talking about we're in the fourth watch of the night. But honey, don't. Honey, the sky's not falling. Jesus is coming. And just look around in the fourth watch of the night. He's going to come walking on the water. And immediately we're going to be on the shore of another land. Thank God, I'm glad we're going home. Amen. Hallelujah. There's been more blessings than there's been storms. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 35. He said, let us pass over to the other side. In our text, I want you to notice, I find a weary Savior. Look at what the Bible said. The Bible said that they took him in the ship, verse 36, even as he was. Now John said, beloved, now we are the sons of God. Verse 1 said we're called the sons. Verse 2 said we are the sons. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear when he shall appear, doth not we what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he was. That what it said? Oh, no. No. It didn't say we'd see him as he was. He said we're going to see him as he is. Amen. And really, they wasn't about three men that could write those words. It had to have been Peter, it had to have been James, or it had to be John. As he was how he was as he walked the roads of Galilee and as he walked the roads of Jerusalem, while he touched the blind, while he healed the leper, while he helped the demoniac, while he did all the miracles and preached the parables. Honey, but that's not the way we're going to see him. We're going to see him as he is, in all of his glory and all of his power. I'm talking about we're not going to be seeing through a glass darkly, but face to face, friend. But the Bible said they took him as he was. That means there wasn't no time to clean up. He didn't run over to the Hampton, get his face wet, and shave his beard, comb his hair, and get him a new robe. They took him in the boat as he was. He's wore out after a day of ministry. He had done answered the questions of the scribes when they accused him of being in league with Beelzebub. He had done sort of halfway rebuked his mom and brethren when they came. They said, "Who is my brethren?" "The ones that do the will of my father." Then he began to preach them parables, the mysteries of the kingdom. Been preaching all day long, working miracles, wore out. And the Bible said they took him in even as he was. I don't know about you, sir, but I'm glad I've got an honest Bible. An honest Bible. Because when I get tired, I'm glad that I don't have to feel like I'm done something wrong. I'm glad I don't have to feel like I've let God down. Because that Bible said in John chapter 4 that he sat down on that well being wearied with his journey. What does that sleep show us? That sleep shows me a little bit about his humanity and his deity. He was God enough to steal the waves, but he was man enough to lay down in the boat and have to go to sleep. At Lazarus' tomb, he was man enough to weep, but he was God enough to say, "Lazarus, come forth," and the dead man came out of the tomb. Say amen right there. Hey, when John baptized him, he was man enough to request John to baptize him in the Jordan River, but he was God enough when he walked up out of the water. There was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He was God enough. Listen, he was man enough that they nailed him on the tree. And listen to me, the men, the people of the world thought he was weak, and he was just dying. He was human enough to die at Calvary. But honey, 3 days later, he was God enough that he walked out of the pit of hell and led captivity captive and set them Old Testament saints free. And now they're in the presence of God because he was God. You see how much God was he? Hallelujah, Brother Jeff. He was as much God as if he was not one bit man. But he was as much man as if he wasn't but one bit, not one bit God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A weary Savior. But in this verse, I see not only a weary Savior, I find some worried servants. Some worried servants. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. They wake him and said unto him, "Master, carest thou not we perish?" Can I tell you something? I don't know about you, but when sailors get nervous about a storm, if I'm not a sailor and I'm on the boat with the sailors and the sailors are nervous, you better believe I'm about to get nervous. Amen? And if a bunch of preachers get nervous, I'm not really going to be nervous. But neighbor, when the captain comes down and is getting him something that he ought not to be drinking to calm his nerves, say amen, I might get a little nervous. I didn't say I'd get a drink with him. I said I'd get a little nervous. Amen. Amen. And these men fish for a living. They were fishermen. And all of a sudden, they're looking out at that watery grave outside. They've rowed all they know to row. They've done everything they know to do. And man, they didn't want to disturb the Son of God. But now, listen, they couldn't do anything. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have any answer for the storm. The Bible said in one place, it said the boat was full and they were in jeopardy. Matthew 8 said it covered the boat, that the waves covered the ship. The Bible said in Mark 4 that it was about full. May I tell you something? Boats are made to be in water, but water are not made to be in boats. And I'm probably preaching to somebody tonight, it feels like the waves are over your head. It feels like your boat's just about to go down. And neighbor, the storm has got you worried. The storm's got you worried. What is it that you're looking around and all you can see is the waves? My dad said when he was going to Korea back in the 50s, he said, son, there were times, he said, when we got in them storms sailing all the way over there, wherever they sailed to, he said, honestly, he said, son, I could look out on the, we stand on the deck and we couldn't see over the waves. But I like that old song the McCamus used to sing, what's over our head is still under his feet. Praise God. Can I get a witness right there? Some of you are worried by the storm. Amen. Listen, we spend so much time telling God how big our storm is. But I believe the Bible said that he rideth upon the wave, rideth upon the wind. One place it said, he hath his way in the whirlwind. Amen. Praise God. And we spend all that time belly aching and complaining and telling God how bad it is. Honey, when's the last time you turned around and looked at the difficulty that you're facing and told him, don't worry, I've got a God that knows how to handle you. You might ought to quit telling the storm or God how big the storm is and look his storm in the eye and tell it how big God is. They wasn't just worried because of the storm. They's worried because of the Savior. Was he really who he said he was? If he was God, you better believe it passed through their mind. If he was God, why'd he put us in this storm? If he's the Lord, why'd he tell us to get in this boat? Why'd he tell us to get in this boat and go across this sea and that we were going to be in this storm, yet he put us in it anyway? You know you and I have had those same thoughts. I thought God loved me. Why has my mom got Alzheimer's? That's where I'm at. I'm talking about a mother that I've never heard her raise her voice to my dad. Never, not back talk. I'm talking about never raised her voice to him. I've never seen her immodest. Never seen her one time immodest. All I've ever seen her do was to serve the men of God. She was Brother Edgar's secretary for 30 years. She was Brother Willard's for 15 years. All I've ever seen her do is serve God and go the extra mile. Sacrifice. But tonight, she can't even remember my boys' names. And it won't be long till she can't remember mine. And if you're not careful, you'll get in that place and think, why my mama? Why couldn't it have been some dopehead's mama that don't give a rip about him? Y'all pray for me. I'm talking about, man, when you get to that place, you say, Lord, why? Why are you doing this? I thought you were the Lord. Why did you put me here? You know, there's preachers sitting here. Man, you fought your way through some church God put you in, and you thought they told you they loved you, and all of a sudden it was on like Donkey Kong. I mean, amen. You couldn't do anything right. You said, Lord, you said this is your will. Why am I in the middle of this storm? Amen. How about it, Mom and Dad? Lord, you said if I get saved and live right, my kids would turn out right, but look at them now. You ain't just worried about the storm. God's got you nervous. Sleep. Laying back there in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. Man, they're doing it. They're bailing water. They're rowing all they got, and they're looking back here. Don't you know Peter had something to say. Peter had always had something to say. He said, John, why don't you go wake him up? You're his favorite. John, I can't believe he's sleeping through here. I thought he was God. He should have known to sail around the storm. Everybody okay? You ever thought about where he was sleeping? I've been on them boats that they've got designed like that boat was. You ever thought about where he was sleeping? He was asleep on the rudder. He's laying back there where they steer the ship, laying hinder part of the ship. What about that? Hallelujah. Let me just remind you this. His humanity may have been asleep, but his deity was wide awake. Yeah, glory to God. His humanity might have been taking a siesta, Brother Graham, but you better believe the God of heaven that spoke the world into existence knew just exactly where they were, just exactly what kind of storm they're in. And may I say to you, you may feel like he's asleep, but you better know he knows everything, the beginning to the ending, and his deity is wide awake. You ever thought about it, Brother Tria? In this text, they didn't even ask him to calm the storm. Matter of fact, there when they woke him up, it was more like a rebuke. Carest thou not that we perish? Don't you know who we are? We are the disciples. You chose us. Carest thou not? That's a rebuke. They didn't, preacher, they didn't wake him up to calm the storm. They woke him up to let him know they were going down. But let me ask you something. Do you not think they ever thought about he's the one that spoke all that into existence? How is the master of the sea going to drown in the very water that he spoke into existence? Hello. Amen. But they woke him up. Can I tell you what? Some of us, when we go pray, we give God more advice than we do ask him for help. Amen. We go in there and tell him how he ought to fix it, what he ought to do, and we about rebuke him if he doesn't do it the way we want to. Honey, they weren't just worried about the storm. They were worried about the Savior. And some of us have thought those things since June. Lord, how could you let that happen? Look up here, it's still preaching time. Amen? You say God's going to judge America. No, God is judging America. One of the greatest judgments of God on any people is when he gives them what we ask for. And neighbor, we ask for what we've got in Washington and we're getting every bit of it. Amen? And we sit here and blame him. Man, God didn't vote, we did. Amen. If 50% of Bible professing Christians would have voted, there ain't no way he'd been in office. But because we stayed at home, let me tell you something, friend, it ain't enough to cuss the darkness. Sometimes you got to spread a little light, praise God. And if every once in a while, preacher, you won't cuss the dark, and I don't mean, you know what I mean. I'm not talking about being vulgar from the pulpit. But I'm talking about preaching. And if you won't preach against sin, bless God, you need to have a backbone transplant. Amen. Amen. This day, our teenagers aren't going to know what it is to hear a bold man stand behind a pulpit and proclaim the Word of God. Fellas, if we don't stand up, lift our voice and proclaim the Word of God. Praise God, after you expose the darkness, why don't you shine a little light in there? Honey, Jesus is still right for whatever's wrong in this world. Amen. Everybody okay? You ain't got to be a smart aleck to preach hard. But you can't preach that book line upon line and precept upon precept and not have some negative preaching every once in a while. Amen. I mean, man, I've gotten places to get the preacher's heart on Sunday morning. Miss Amy get in the car and she'll say, Daddy, when do we get to be against that? I said, I don't know, but we are today, praise God. Amen. I heard Brother Hudson say he's the only preacher. We'd be the only preacher we ever heard. Preacher gets TV. He's got one in his bathroom so we don't miss any of Monday night football, praise God. Amen. You think about how much Brother Lackey stood in here and would have railed against TV. What do you think he'd have said about the internet? What would he have said about the internet If he didn't like the TV, honey, the TV don't hold a candle to the internet. Amen. Your kids carrying that smartphone have got a pocket full of rattlesnakes, mom and dad, if you don't learn how to control it. You better put a lock on that thing, praise God, or the devils of hell will crawl out of your children's pocket and steal their heart. Know where all that came from. That ain't in the notes, but it's right, praise God. Amen. There's a whole lot of stuff. I read a statistic some years ago that said over 70% of everything on the internet's pornography. And when you think about all the information that's out there, that's a whole lot of filth. I think they sold the Indian soul Manhattan Island for $24 years ago. And neighbor, there ain't never been a time since then that dirt has been sold more cheaply than it is today. Matter of fact, you ain't even got to pay for it. Most of it's free. Amen? We're looking around saying, God, what do you mean? We're in the middle of this storm and you're not doing anything about it. He said, just hold on. Just hold on. I got a trumpet right here. It's going to fix a whole lot of things. I've got a trumpet right here. There's going to be a great getting up morning. Honey, there is a brighter day coming. There is going to be a glad reunion day. There is going to be another side. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Hey, fellas, if we don't preach a little darkness every while, they won't appreciate the light. Amen. Here's what I've been wanting to get to all night long. Everybody okay? All that's just introduction. Now I want to preach about 3.5 hours. She got nervous right there. She was feeling for his keys, like, where are we going? Don't worry, I'd go with you if I preached 3.5 hours. You'd probably have to carry me. I'm not as slim as Brother Satterfield back there. I got a little bit more. It takes more diesel to run my engine than it does his. Amen. There's a weary Savior. There's some worried servants. But I want you to notice verse number 3. Or there's a wonderful statement. Look, he's about to put them in the boat and get in there with them. And notice what he said to them. He said, let us pass over to the other side. I want to preach for just a few minutes on the other side. The other side. Can I tell you, you may be in a storm tonight and you may be like it was in the book of Acts. It had been 14 days since they had seen the sun, the moon, or the stars. It's been dark day upon dark day upon dark day. Yesterday morning, I walked into our service and Brother Boatwright, you remember the lady that lost her husband. I had to leave on that Monday night of camp. I had to go to the hospital. Her husband died that night. I mean, she'd been doing good, but yesterday morning, I walked by her in church and I looked and man, she was sitting there with tears dripping off her face. I'm talking about married to her husband for about 62, 63 years. And man, she'd been doing good. And all of a sudden yesterday morning, I walked by and was just speaking and I called her out of the corner of my eyes, just sitting there before church with tears dripping off her face. She had got down and depressed about her husband being gone. And may I say, I'm probably preaching to somebody tonight. It's been a while since you woke up in the morning and the sun was hanging in your sky and you've seen some beautiful stars at night. But may I say to you, blessed be God, there is another side to the storm. This is not the only place you're going to have to live. Hey, listen to me. God can either let you conquer the storm here or we're going to another side, to another shore, to another land, where there's going to be no sadness, no crying, and we're going to get together with the ones we love. Thank God there is another side. Another side. He said, I saw that new heaven, that new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth was passed away. And then it said, and there was no more sea. Say a word about that no more sea. That no more sea means no more separation. God divided the land by using the water. But I'm going to a place, glory to God and the Lamb forever. I don't even like to shake the hands of the undertakers. They'll come up and say, that's good preaching, preacher. We enjoy that. I'm like, God bless y'all. Hallelujah. Amen. I put my hands behind my back or put them in my pocket because I feel like every time I shake their hand, they're trying to measure me for a box. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky, praise God. And I'm going to a place where no goodbyes will ever be spoken. Loved ones will be reunited again. Pastors and their sheep will get together again. Mothers and unborn children that died in a miscarriage, praise God, they're going to get together again. Honey, there's going to be a place where there's no more separation. No more sea. Hallelujah. I wish I could get it out of my heart like I want to. That sea speaks of separation. Brother Satterfield, that sea speaks of storms. Every storm that comes across the continent of America, North America, or any other continent comes off that sea. But we're about to dock in a fair haven of rest. Can I tell you what the forecast is going to be in heaven? Today, the sun, the S-O-N, is shining. There's gentle breezes blowing. We'll never wake up to a news report over there of a rainy day or a black day or, listen, a whirlwind or a tsunami or any other tragedy. Honey, I'm going to a land where there's not going to be just no separation, but there's going to be no more storms. I've rode enough storms out for all of us. But, honey, I'm going to a land there'll never be another a contrary wind blow across my soul. Hallelujah. I'll shout for y'all. It's bad I do shouting and the preaching. Say amen. Amen. No more storms. Hey, preachers, no more broken families. No more parents coming weeping to you that their kids have gone to the world. No more calls at night. And said, preacher, he's gone. No more of them. You better believe. Brother Jeff, there's a shore. We leave out of here. That world, can I borrow your Bible for a minute? Sir. That world's going to have their little books and beating them. There they go. There they go. Them old right-wing Bible-thumping bigots. We knew they were going to get swept up by some UFO. There they go. There they go. We're glad they're gone. Good riddance, and I hope they never come back. But that's from this side. On the other side, honey, you better believe they're going to be swinging the flag saying, here they come, here they come, here they come, here they come. Honey, praise God, there's going to be another shore. And when we land, there's going to be a glad day of rejoicing. There's going to be no more storms. No more storms. No more separation. But then, no more sea means no more sailing. I'm home. Now, when I get home about 3 o'clock Saturday morning, there ain't going to be no angels lining that long dirt driveway. And they're not going to sing the hallelujah chorus. I'm not going to roll my window down and listen to them sing while I come through. I'm just going to hope to God I don't run over the fence when I'm going down the driveway. Y'all pray for me. But I am going to make a landing at home one day. That there is, they are going to strike up the band. And they're going to sing. And here they come. Oh, what a thrill. Here they come. Marching up to Zion's hill. The victory's won. As they bow before God's Son, the bride of Jesus is coming home. Now, some of you silver hair folks ought to remember that one from back in the 70s. Amen. No more sailing. Sailing. Other side. We're going to another side. Come here. Look at here. Push it all you can while you're here. But you won't push it over there. Oh, no. You won't need that over there. Can I tell you, Mama, there's another side. And I know taking care of a young man like this with the special needs that he has, there's a lot of times you can't see past this side. But one of these days, those little feet are not going to be in stirrups. And he's not going to be buckled in. Oh, yes, Brother Jeff. One day they're not going to roll him in over to Bible Truth Baptist Church, praise God. Honey, he's going to walk into another land. There'll be no need of canes. There'll be no need of walkers. There'll be no wheelchairs, honey, on Hallelujah Square. They're going to walk. They're going to shout. They're going to run. There is going to be another side. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the day that he's as healthy as he is? Don't worry, I ain't going to drop him. I never fumbled a football and I ain't never dropped a baby, praise God. What about it? He and him, he'll be just as healthy, just as strong on the other side. I wonder if you ever thought, I know listen, the fear that must have been in your heart when he was in your womb. But what about a God that lets you feel? He said, right here's this side. Why don't you feel the other side? Take a little, get a little foretaste of the other side. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's another side. Child of God, don't give up. Don't give in. There's another side to the storm you're in. Just sail on. Just sail on. Just sail on. There's another side. Other side. Other side. Other side. Other side. Look at verse 36. Amen. Brother Graham, y'all heard me exhort on this at the back to Bethany, but this is the first time I've ever preached it like this. Other side. But then, sis, it said, other, look right there, verse 36, other little ships. There's other sides, and then there's other little ships. Could it have been, that he didn't even need to steal the storm for the ship he was in, because according to that text, it wasn't a little ship. The others were a little ship. The one they were in must have been a bigger ship. It could hold up in the storm. But when he looked out there and saw them other little ships, amen, he calmed the storm. And all them other little ships out there on the sea got all the benefit for what he did for the disciples. What about that God's got you in a storm? Hey, preacher man, when God steals the waves in your life, share it with your people, because he might just be calming their sea while he's calming your sea. Hey, God might be helping you to help them, and God may have put you in a storm to demonstrate to that flock that he can still speak peace to the waves and rebuke the wind. Honey, I'm glad you ain't got to have 10,000 for God to know where you're at. I'm glad you ain't got to preach 100 meetings to know where you're at. I'm glad, thank God, he's concerned about the little ships. Amen. I mean, man, if it took 1,000, he wouldn't know where I'm at. If it took 500, he wouldn't know where I'm at. But I'm glad he knows where them other little ships are. You say, I'm just a young convert. What about the fact he looked off that boat and got concerned about the other little ships? I'm about done preaching. Musicians, come back to the piano. Talking about that other side, I read some months ago, a doctor was in his practice, and he went in to tell a man about cancer, that he had cancer, terminal cancer. And he was in there talking to that man, and the doctor's dog had followed him down the hall and was standing at the examination room. And it wasn't but a minute until he heard that man was in there talking to him about him dying with cancer. And that man asked him, he said, "Doc, tell me about death." And about that time, that little dog got to scratching at the door on that doctor's examination room. He said, "Well," he said, "death's a little bit like that dog scratching on this door." He said, "That little dog ain't got no clue what's on this side of the door, but he knows who's on the other side of the door." And said, "He wants in here because he knows I'm in here." And may I say to you, I never have had an answer to tell anybody when they won't know about death. But I'm glad I can tell them who's in there. Amen. Let me tell you something. When you get the who nailed down, you really don't have to worry about much about the what. Because the who's bigger than the what, you ain't got to be concerned with the what. Other ships. Other side. What about the fact they wouldn't have had to even been nervous? He said, "Let us go to the other side." There's his promise. All they would have had to done is say, "We're not sinking. God said we were going to the other side." That's what faith. Faith is not this name it and claim it, praise God. Faith is getting you some Bible, the Word of God, and putting your faith in the revealed Word of God. That's what faith is. And he had done gave them the promise, "We're going to the other side." And all they had to do is trust what he said. What about the fact he's done made some promises? I'm not even going to have to float in on a board like they did in Acts. I preach out of that part, so how not to lose your hinder parts. Amen. Really, I do. Hinder part of that ship broke off. Listen, we're preaching a whole lot these days losing their hinder parts, praise God. But I'm not floating in on some part of the ship. I'm going all the way in. Amen. It's all right to smile in church. Some of you need to smile. You've been crying for a long time. The Bible still said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Other side. Other ships. But then he talked to them about their other spirit. He said, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? What are you afraid of?" I saw somebody had a video posted the other day of a little, said, "What happens when a spider's in your car?" A young lady jumps out of her car, jumps out, and the car just keeps going down the road, crosses over into the other lane, hits three cars, and then off the side of the road it went. Over a spider. Kill the stinking thing. I mean, you're seven times bigger than it is. Squash it. Just don't tell Peter. Man, I'm so glad I'm not one of them folks. I'd starve to death because I like eating animals. Say amen. Amen. Why are you so fearful? Hey, let me tell you something, fellas. Us preachers, we act like we're all big and bad. I tell you what scares us when the offering's down and people aren't there. It don't take but one bad offering and we're up here. What are we going to do? Amen. Y'all might as well look up here, praise God. Amen. You let 10 families fail out, be out somewhere, you think there's been a church split and they ain't told you about it. Amen. You let the offering be off $2,000 or $3,000 one month. You thought, "Dear God, what are we going to do?" Amen. He rebuked them in 4 for being fearful. He rebuked them in 6 for being forgetful. And I'll be honest with you, the reason we're so fearful is because we're forgetful. We've forgotten what God's already done. What he's already done. Maybe tonight you might need to look back up in your heart where God made some promises to you. Anchor onto that promise. And say, "Lord, I'm not going to be fearful. I'm going to be faithful. The other side. On the other side, the sun's always shining. There's no crying over there. D.L. Moody was walking with a man. You can play when y'all get ready, ladies. D.L. Moody was walking down the road with a man. The man was telling about all of his troubles and difficulties and everything he was going through. And all of a sudden, they were walking by this pasture. They walked up there, and the cow was leaning over the wall, looking out the road. D.L. Moody looked at that man. He said this. He said, "You know why that cow's looking over that wall?" That man said, "No, sir. Why?" He said, "Because she can't see through it." You know what most of us are doing? All we're doing is staring right into our storm, and we can't see what's on the other side. But what faith does, Job said, "Naked came I into this world, and naked I shall return." He looked back, he looked forward, but then he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." He started looking up. And maybe you've been looking into your wall, and maybe tonight God might let you lift your head, look over the wall, and see what's on the other side. There is going to be another side. Preacher, you may be fighting for your life tonight. Won't you look to Him and let Him let you see on the other side? They ain't no trouble like church trouble. I mean, that's like a family fight. It's just nothing like it. I'm talking about difficult and storms. There's no telling what burdens are represented in here tonight. No tellings. But I tell you this, upon the authority of the Word of God, there is going to be another side. You say, "Well, I'm not the preacher. I'm not the preacher's wife. I'm not the deacon. I'm not the Sunday school teacher. I'm just a member." You just remember this. He's concerned about the little ships, just like He is the big ships. We're standing, heads are bowed. We're singing. Our brother, we're going to sing a verse of this song, "Kneel at the Cross." They're going to play. Won't you make your way down here to this altar and say, "Lord, I need to get a little glance of the other side. I need a little glance of the other side." There is another side. There's other ships.